shiny little Uber, glimmer, glimmer.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in this Tuesday evening to KVNF, our live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and here again, you guys just show up every week. I love it. It's Lance and Lulu.
Yeah, good evening out there.
Hi, everybody. I slid in sideways, though.
You did. No wonder.
I was fiddling around.
Yeah, but you're here.
Yeah, I got here.
Right under the wire. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the phone numbers, because we'd love to hear from you tonight. 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. You can email us at The email address is worm@kvnf.org.
Yeah, and that's kind of fun when you do that.
It is kind of fun.
Comes up on the old piuter over there.
Right. Morse code.
Yeah,
decoder.
Yeah, it's great.
So we like that. All right. What's going on? I'm just going to say the full moon out there, which is fabulous, and the patchouli is in bloom.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it is. God, it's
fall.
It's
wonderful.
You know, I'm really having trouble with the time change, though.
Yeah, we should be over it by now. We gained an extra hour, but right now it's really 7:30.
Yeah. Right. I'm training myself to stay up later, so I still don't get up at 4 in the morning.
Right.
Well, right. That's my problem. I mean, I'm usually the night owl, right? And now I'm I had trouble staying up past 7:30 last night. What's up with that?
I don't know, but it feels good.
I'm all right with it.
Yeah. Okay. We kind of get off topic sometimes, but we had a caller last week, I think it was Jeff in Montrose, and kind of asked us, what are you trying to do there? What's your purpose? And you had some good thoughts, Lance, just about the show and
our show. We're sharing information about how to have a small garden, growing food, seeds, organic, just sustainable, simple little ideas. Last year, Lulu talking about the clothesline.
Oh, God.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and so guess what I'm going to talk about right now?
Go for it.
Yeah.
I just cleaned out the kitty litter box from the whole summer. Okay, which sounds gross, but I use alfalfa pellets.
Oh, okay.
I use rabbit food. So you buy a 40-pound bag of rabbit food, and it lasts all year because what's in there now will last until I get back in the spring. And it doesn't stink unless you're digging it. It absorbs like crazy.
Right.
If you keep taking the little poopies out, then the time it's time to empty it again, it's fertilizer.
Yeah.
You can take it out and put it on your lilacs or your, whatever. I mean, it's just
nice.
So it recycles back into the everything just easier. You're not throwing out clay.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I lived down in Lazier, and there was an alfalfa pellet mill there.
The
big alfalfa pellets for livestock.
Wow. Yeah, you take
and
for
they had
and
like
stuff.
They didn't cure right, and they had too much moisture, and they caught on fire. There was burnt charcoal pieces in there, so they're throwing piles and piles of this stuff away. That's where I learned how to make compost, and it wasn't manure; it was alfalfa pellets. And alfalfa pellets like that have 10% more manure or nitrogen than manure.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been digested yet.
Because they're not digested. And the whole thing, and it just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it does to me. I mean, to the rest of the normal world that goes to wherever and buys Tidy Cat or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't make sense. But if the whole purpose, getting back to the purpose of the show,
right,
is how to arrange, especially here, in this area where we don't have a lot of people. If you're living in a condominium, you're probably not going to have a place where you can take your dead alfalfa pellets with kitty pee in them.
Out to the balcony.
Yeah. Out to the balcony or whatever. But here,
Yeah, here we can do it.
You have no excuse. You know, you can. Just about everybody has a spot they can put it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you do live in an apartment, go find a favorite tree or something.
Yeah, and most cities have composting programs.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, even Montrose has a composting program.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. I just know of people that were working there, and I don't know exactly. I know where I'm originally from in Orange County, California, Southern California, and you cannot take organic matter to the dump.
Oh, my goodness.
The county actually runs a composting business, and they weigh the stuff or measure the stuff you bring in by the cubic yard, and they – give you a ticket, an estimate of what you can get back as finished.
Oh, that's so cool.
And, of course, it's going to be less because when it's composted, it's broken down and much
stuff.
But they actually have a way to estimate that, and you can actually go get compost.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. There's a big market for that. You know, like you go to a festival or something now, they're using compostable cups and separate all the trash.
Yeah.
And are pretty sticky about it, too. Want that to work.
Yeah. We at the dog trials this fall, we did that. And it was, so you had to have a garbage Nazi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it worked.
And then, you know, part of, you know, like using kitty litter and stuff is just really conditioning and not knowing. And it depends on where you're from.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's part of the show, too, is everybody sharing ideas and different things that they try that work for them.
I was meditating on that. I was, you know, how in the past, if we lived in a town or a city, you know, or our tribe or whatever, everybody, there was a method or a way that you did life that you didn't question. And it was all sustained. There wasn't, you know, throw away what?
Yeah,
you know,
no.
your used buffalo hide, you just threw it out somewhere and it decomposed or whatever. And we are so conditioned now in this day and age to just be consumers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we don't think about where all this stuff is going to end up.
Well, I think there's an awareness coming around, and hopefully that's
what
we do here a little bit.
Yeah, and so that's part of our mission. Yeah. We could make a mission statement.
There you go.
That's
our winner project.
There
right?
we go. Yeah.
We'll put our heads together.
Oh, I'm scared already.
Send your emails.
Yeah. Well, do call us or email us or do something. You know the numbers, 527-486-81866-KVNF now.
All right. We must do a carrot report.
Last week
we were still on
a
couple tons.
Not quite.
That's four or five beds, I think.
No. Well, they're dwindling quickly, and by next week, the end of the week, I won't have any carrots in the ground.
Wow. That went fast.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And, you know, I'm just doing a lot of what's happened is I've done a lot of carrots for people that want them for storage. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm 50 pounds here, 150 pounds there, you know, 200 pounds there.
Chopping away at it.
Wow, that's brave.
Yeah.
To do it for storage.
Yeah.
I just think that's – and do you have your carrots in your storage pit yet?
Yeah.
Or you, you've already laid
I took care
out.
Of myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All this work and you don't have any food?
Yeah. Right.
What did I do?
And I'd rather have too much at the other end to give away than not enough now.
Right.
You know, so that's how I work it.
That's a good storage pit.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, I think you planted more carrots this year than last year, but what was the timing of your crop? Or were you this?
There was a lot of different timings, no?
Well, once I started planting, I plant about every 2 to 3 weeks. There was 5 beds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when one germinates, I plant the next one.
Did you have carrots this late last year?
I had them into December last year.
Okay.
Yeah, just that because I sold them a little differently in those larger quantities to a few people, maybe 10 different people.
Right.
That takes up quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking to me when this time of year rolls around and I'm finishing up the very last of whatever, you know, the pumpkins and the apples and stuff like that, because I don't stash carrots. And then I have to get into the frozen stuff.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how quickly it goes. And it's amazing to me to go to the grocery store and spend $30 and look at what you've got and go, wait, really?
yeah, that's for sure.
Well, last week was my last garden salad.
Oh, really? Wow, that's good.
I mean, lettuce, spinach, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you had some fresh, well, fresh parsley that survived
I had fresh parsley. And it was, I said, oh, let's pick a little bit. And it was so sweet from that cold weather that just like when the carrots get a good frost on it, they sweeten up. That parsley was so good.
Yeah.
I picked quite a bit of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
If you dry it, once it's done that, once it's frozen like that, and you dry it, you put it in the jar, right? And you put the jar in the pantry, and you open that jar and can't believe it.
Wow.
It just bowls you over. It's so strong.
I bet that's beautiful.
It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just smells like summer in a jar. It's just amazing.
So the last, I think going back to carrots, I have scarlet nanties and rumbas. Those are, the rumbas are definitely the early first carrots. Well, they're also now the last carrots.
Oh, wow.
And so those,
you've got that.
And they'll be small, smaller.
Now will never be last.
Yeah.
Save us from ourselves.
5274868. 866 KVNF now.
Yeah, you know, we all have to start figuring out ways to close the loop, you know, and without waiting for someone or, you know, a municipality or whatever to close it for us. Around
that's
here,
for sure.
You know, who's, how are we going to get a composting? Somebody would have to take that on.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, our local governments clearly, you know, don't have enough money to run what they're running.
Mm-hmm.
We won't go there right now, but and you know, and but you know, if we take it on ourselves and we take that responsibility on ourselves, it's amazing what you can figure out. You know, we're incredibly inventive species.
Yeah, and we can figure things out.
And we can figure things out. So get on it, you slackers
and,
out there.
And don't look at the dollar sign.
Yeah,
right.
Don't.
Just do it.
Yeah, I had.
And you'll probably end up glad you did.
Yeah, I have a sister. One of my sisters been calling me, wanting. She's going to. She has a 10,000 square foot paddock for her horse, and it's dirt, and she wants to plant grass in it. And so we're going over and over, and you know, finally I just said, this is what you need to do. Just because she was getting too much information.
Oh,
And I said, stop. You know, you got too much information and you can't make a decision. Just get the annual rye. It's a grass, a small grass.
Then there's
a perennial rye, which is a lawn grass. And then she wants to put Bermuda in there, but Bermuda only grows in the warmth. But I said, if you put all those seeds out there all at the same time, they'll all come up in the when they're appropriate to come up with.
Right. There you
and
go.
And just no more. Just go and do it.
And so this is the goal, to change the paddock into pasture?
No. It's to keep down the dust in the summer and the mud in the winter.
Yeah. Okay,
and that's what it is. She's going to be – she's feeding this horse.
Good.
So anyway, I hope she does it. And just keep it simple.
Keep it simple, yeah. And you're on are you making piles of compost for winter, or where are you in the compost?
This year, no, I'm not. I just putting it in my big storage bins. But all of the gray water from my kitchen sink goes on there. All the water from scrubbing carrots with all that dirt and stuff goes on there.
Right.
And it will compost on its own. Slowly and surely, it just settles down, and it will actually start steaming at a certain point. Once it gets enough moisture in there, it will start to steam. So that's my pre-composting. And I'll start composting in February or March, actually pulling it out and making piles. you know. But I mentioned that I shredded my last pile.
Right, and you're aging it. Or
yeah, this
in a, that's the effect.
Yeah, it's going to age all winter long, and it turns into something else. It's got more a different type of energy to it. And it's actually biological life that develops in old piles. And that's the stuff that you really want in your garden.
Yeah, that's what fires it up.
Yeah, the new piles are a pile that's ready in 6 weeks. It's really good and does have that biological life, but it's not the same as an aged pile.
Mm-hmm.
The aged pile is the one you want. So, and this will inoculate the soils next spring because I'll use that sparingly.
So do you spread it out or you're just let you shredded it and it's going to sit there?
Yeah, it's shredded and it's in a big pile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's in the chicken yard and the chickens are working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I cleaned out their egg laying spot, you know, their roosts and things, and cleaned all the old straw out, put new fresh straw in, and all that old straw with all that old manure in it, they just... It's just going to sit out in the chicken yard, and they'll fester it out.
Yeah.
And a lot of the big stalks from the Maximilian daisies and the hollyhocks and all the big stuff, I didn't bother shredding it. I just threw it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
The chickens will work it over.
Work it over, and you can shred it in the spring, and then it'll really be easy to shred.
Yeah. Yeah, because it'll be so dry.
Yeah.
So all your cleanup debris.
Yeah, I could just take all that cleanup debris and just shove it in the shredder. And God, I bought that shredder a gazillion years ago, and it's just...
Still working.
It's been worth its weight in gold.
It's
shredder, up at the orphanage farm now, yeah.
Mm.
And, Willie was making all the chicken feed with it.
Oh, he's cracking grain and stuff.
He just was shoving the whole corn stalk and the cobs and everything in there.
Wow. Like it.
Yeah.
Like a silage.
Yeah, like silage, yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking of compost for winter piles.
Yeah.
This is a neat little trick that I've also, is you make, get that woven wire stock fence, make it, 15-foot rings minimum, maybe larger. And you might need two or three of these, depending on the size of your garden. And before you set them in the garden, you sort of turn the soil. So the bacteria,
I see where you're going with this,
the bacteria from the soil can, and then you just layer all your organic matter, manure, leaves, kitchen scraps in these things all the way to the top. And you can throw buckets of water or whatever on this. And in the springtime, you take that
wire off and
you spread it all out and you till it in.
Wow.
And it's right there in your garden. You're not wheelbarrowing. Anything.
Except a handy trick.
Yeah, it's a easy way to do it, and you can even put your kitchen scraps in there all winter long.
Just throw it on top. It doesn't have to be circular. If you've got odd-shaped gardens like I do, just make it whatever shape.
Yeah, whatever shape. You can even stack old wood pallets.
Sure.
Anything will work, but it's right there in the garden. So in the springtime, you just take the sides off and spread it and till it. You know.
Heck, you could just... get some old dead hay bales and start it,
you
too.
Do it.
Sure.
You can do that.
There's so many things you can do out of you guys. And you guys are clever, and we're clever, and just
try
do it.
Stuff.
I was just thinking another thing. If you don't want to till, just spread that, and that's your mulch right on top of the ground.
Start that no-till project.
You can do it that way, too.
Yeah.
That's a fun winter project.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not hard. I get it. You know, people have... a lot to do in the winter, and it gets dark so early and all that and everything, but
you'll thank yourself in the spring
if you're going to have a little garden.
Yeah.
You know?
And pretty soon we'll be planning for next year, if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
I know you do that as you're walking around the garden and working in the garden. But, looking at seed catalogs and all of that stuff, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah. Don't wait till the last minute.
No, my goal next spring, I've got a lot of projects I want to do. And because I've been so kind of stove up this year. But I'm going to do some bartering, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I got some stuff I can play barter with.
There you go. That's the way it works.
Yeah. So it'll work.
Hey, it's David in Paonia on the line. Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Hi.
So my question is, what should I be doing this time of year with my asparagus beds to get them ready for spring? Okay. Should I cut down the old stalks?
Yeah, you cut down the old stalks. And I don't know, I mentioned it, was that a week or two ago, how I actually turned the soil completely with a shovel all the way around it? But my crowns, I know, are 18 inches deep. But also asparagus is really likes a lot of nitrogen. So if you want to put some sort of manure on it now, be just fine. And it will leach down into the deep root systems.
Yeah, see, that's where you could use your alfalfa pellet kitty litter. it would spread out in there like golden.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have a way to get chicken manure, that'd work good on there. Yeah. You know, and even, well, any type of manure, but chicken would probably be the best. You know.
Chicken's hard to come by, though, unless you know somebody who has poop chickens that took it down or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's mainly just.
I've got a lot, but you can't have it.
Yeah,
but we could maybe barter.
Okay, but cut those stalks down because that's where the bugs are wintering over.
Yeah, it's not a lychnus bug. It's an asparagus beetle.
Asparagus beetle.
Lychnus is in the alfalfa.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Never mind.
Is it just a long row, or is it actual?
Several patches scattered around the yard.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I would just go around and spread, cut the stalks down and spread like a 3-foot circle of some sort of fertilizer around the base of those.
Yeah, okay. And get your stalks out of there too. Don't just cut them and leave them lie.
Clean them up.
Get them out of there because those asparagus beetles, if they get around, they're really a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, okay. Good idea.
Thank you.
All right,
David. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate your call.
Yeah, we
bye.
Do. We
bye.
Really, bye, everybody.
Have a good evening.
I mean, David, bye. Yeah, I have a bucket. I have a 5-gallon bucket that I keep in the chicken house where I clean their roosts every night.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a special glove that I put on so that I can pick up the little chicken turds, and I get got a lot of
Yeah,
I was raking leaves yesterday, and they have as big cottonwoods, big cotton, a dead end road, and there was so much turkey manure because of that's where they were roosting.
Oh,
the
no kidding!
Score.
Yeah.
Score.
You know.
Wow. Yeah.
I like it. Hey, we've got another call. It's Bill in Montrose. He's got a shredder question.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Good evening, Bill.
Yeah, I have a giant pile of horse manure, and it's mixed with alfalfa and hay, from the stalls and the horses. You guys are talking about a shredder that you're running it through. I'm wondering what kind of shredder that is.
Well, I have two different types of shredders. One is I bought in 1979. It's still got the original blades on it. Original blades and bearings. And it was a WW Rotoho. And it's a hammer mill. It's okay.
Wow, it's the one that pounds it.
Yeah. Okay. And that would work really good with the manure. The hay and stuff, it'd have a tough time with it. And stuff. But then I have another one called an MTD yard machine. And it's got like a 7-horse on it, and that would take care of everything.
Okay. And so it also has like a chipper,
and it has a side chute chips. And I've chipped all my corn stalks, and even 3-inch sunflower stalks through that. On the chipper, and the other side is just you could just throw your manure mixed with your hay.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
handy.
Right. And I can't even remember what make mine is, but it's got a big part on top. Big, it's not that big. It's 2x2x whatever, and it's a cone, and you throw everything in there, and it spits it out shredded. And it's got a side chute, like Lance is saying, where you can put in stems and small branches and things. But by the time you get to that branchy stuff, you're over it. So you just put your hollyhocks and sunflowers and
yeah,
stuff
sunflowers.
Like that.
I put the raspberries through that chute, too.
Yeah, the raspberries will go through. And like my son Willie was doing the corn stalks and the like that, and that was going in the side. And
yeah.
Works great.
Sounds like
awesome.
It.
And you can get.
Thank you very much.
You thank
can get.
Bill. Appreciate
wait a second, Desmond. Oh. But you can get electric ones. You don't have to have a gas motor one. I'm just
I have an electric one that you use for like branches, but I never thought about putting something in it to use for mulch.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Sounds great.
Voila.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Try it.
Yeah. Just go for it.
I'm going to.
Yep.
A little bit of time.
Yeah. Don't put the whole lot in there all at once. You know, start small and easy and see where you can go with it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Sure.
Take care, Bill.
That's
a great tip.
That's what we're talking about. Right. That's the goal.
I'm just thinking of all the material that I could get from that, using that shredder, just how different that would be for me and my garden.
And here's the rest of the story is I find that, I mean, it's amazing. You've got the I used to shred because I had Chinese elms on the property in Carbondale, and I used to trim them all down and shred all of that stuff. I never let them get too big where I couldn't feed them through that side chute. And I'd start with these piles that were half as big as a house, and I'd end up with this, I don't know, you know, maybe a garbage can worth or something. You're going, wow. You know, so it shreds it.
I mean, it shreds it.
You lose a lot of volume, but God, it's worth it.
Okay, and all these, this is another thing, if you compost, work faster if everything's shredded.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll break down more evenly.
It breaks down so fast.
So if it's in those smaller pieces that have more surface space than just big chunks, they'll actually break down faster.
Yeah.
It breaks down quicker.
I like it.
Yeah, especially if you add water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key thing. In the composting arena, to have a balance of nitrogen and carbon is essential.
Yeah, but water and air are just as important.
But without water and air, you ain't going nowhere.
Too much water, you get anaerobic.
Yeah, that's
too much air, it's get dry and doesn't break down, period.
Right. It just sits there. Turns to dust.
Yeah.
Like the leaf sucker going through town today. I was having the best time watching that. I was laughing
I've been looking for that guy.
He's around. You know, call him up, flag him down. He was around. You can tell where he is because you see these huge plumes of dust coming up out of the back. I was laughing.
Okay.
It's kind of a funny looking machine.
But it works.
It does work. And we appreciate him coming around and cleaning that up. You've been doing some threshing, Lance.
Yeah, threshing
around.
Yeah, well, actually, two plants, but main. I mentioned to you the poppies, and I'm cutting the pods in half, and I into a bucket. This is what I do for about 15, 20 minutes in the evening, and maybe 30 minutes, and then I sift it through a window screen, and it's perfectly clean.
Nice. And I also, that staging thing.
Yeah,
that you do.
And then. At this point in time, I have a half gallon of poppy seeds from this year's harvest with a little bit more to go.
That's a lot of poppy seeds.
And and that's the Hungarian blue bread. And then the amaranth I'm doing with my feet. And then once it's threshed off of the stalks, then I will screen it. I'll put it through a quarter inch screen. Let's get the coarser stuff. I have found that it's easier to because if you try to put it through an eighth inch or smaller screen, it's going to take so long. So this way you just shake it through a quarter inch, and then you move down to the eighth inch, and then you move it to the window screen. And if there's still any stuff, that's when you winnow it, or I winnow it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So actually all those steps save you time
in the long run. And you get a better yield.
You get a better yield,
You know.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of that. I don't as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Got so many other projects going. Jeez. But anyway, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and it's all part and parcel. So throw out your clothes dryer, get kitty litter, rabbit pellet.
Alfalfa.
Rabbit food, kitty litter. You'll be on the right track.
Yeah. And this is just something that I'm turning soil now. you know, for the winter, I turn on the soil and stuff. And, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes of that, and then I go and do something else for 10 minutes. Well, I'm going to go thrash the amaranth.
Oh, right.
You know, I've been doing other things, but now the next project is to get that amaranth in. So I'll do that for 5-10 minutes. Then I'll go back to turning. So this way you don't wear your body out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep it exciting.
I cleaned all my screens. I got all the screens cleaned today for the big dehydrator.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's done. And yeah, and then I went on to the kitty litter project and... Oh, God, I had all these projects.
There's plenty there.
Lots.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Transplanting
another orchid.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I have this orchid.
Oh, are you an orchid
lover? No, I'm not, but I...
You're trying to be?
No, but by default, I've been given these orchids, and then the one bloomed, and so now I'm like, oh, no. And then I got,
right,
you know, because they're beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And now I have three more.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's something new. That's a delicate business there.
Yeah.
You know, you think it is, but it isn't.
Really?
Yeah. You just...
Get the knack?
I don't know. You put them in dirt and you get a... It's got to be a dirt with a lot of air and a little bit of wood. Uh-oh, Leah's ready to go on.
And then
you just feed them. I have all that.
There's orchid food.
I'm using my fabulous fecal fertilizer.
Oh, okay. Do you soak the whole pot?
No.
Okay. I'm just some people.
When I first transplant.
Yeah, I know some people have, and they actually have specific pots, and they soak the whole pot.
Yep.
And then drain it.
Okay. Different tricks.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Try it. Try something.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Try something. And don't go full bore, whole hog. Just start a little bit at a time and figure it out.
You're a person.
You got it. It's good. Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, too. We'll be back next week, 6:30.
I'll start my list.
Right, your big old envelope with pencil scratchings on it.
Lance is high tech. I love it.
I do too. It's Leah coming up with One Woman's Perspective. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Have a nice fire.
Took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I gotta get that I love so lowly the